Welcome back to Naomi's Table. We are in our Bible study segment now, and we're talking about more parables from the Gospel of Mark, and we're back in chapter 4 with lesson number 15. Our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is here. Connie, tell us what we're going to be learning about today.
Well, we are going to dive into the three remaining parables that Mark gives us in his account of Jesus, and we're going to be reading from Mark 4, verses 21 through 34. And so I'm going to take each parable at a time and we'll talk about what's going on and learn more about God's kingdom. So Mark 4:21, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So here we find Jesus talking to them, speaking again in a parable, and he's talking about a lamp. And back in that day, lamps were really simple little dishes with some oil floating in them and a wick. And because they were so small and the light was fairly dim, they would put it up high so it would cast more light into the room. And so this is something they knew about. And of course, if you had a lamp, you wouldn't cover it over because then you wouldn't get any light from it. But part of what's going on here is when the Lord says, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. That word secret is a really interesting Greek word. It's mysterion, and it's the same word we get the word mystery from. And truly, throughout the New Testament, when God talks about mysteries, secrets, he's talking about something that God has known from the beginning of time. But now, in these latter days, these days of the kingdom, it is being revealed to those who actually have those ears to hear and eyes to see. And Jesus is talking about how he's bringing forth this new news of the kingdom of God, and actually eventually how his disciples will be the ones bringing forth the word of God, the gospel, what's happening with Jesus coming into human history and dying for sin and rising again so that those who believe in him and repent will have eternal life. There's also the idea of here of when the light coming, light is a metaphor for God in scriptures. And when we hear of God's light, it speaks of knowing God, knowing truth about God. And also the light of God denotes the moral purity, the holiness of God. And Jesus himself, he's the light of the world. He's the one who's most perfectly revealed truth about God. And he's most perfectly shown God's holy character. And then it's really truly through his own person. And so the light of the world is here telling them this parable, and it's speaking about how God is breaking in on human history in a new way, never done before. The kingdom of God is here. The king is here, and all those who will submit to him and come under his rule will enter into a glorious new kingdom, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Another thing to notice there is Jesus gives a pretty strong instruction. He says in 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. We're getting the sense that we're responsible for what we've heard. And then the Lord says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So what is he saying? He's saying, with what you know of God, with what has been revealed to you in God's word, you are responsible for what you do with it. You're responsible for this kingdom of God that has come, this gospel message. What are you going to do with it? And there's also the sense that as you come to understand truth about God and accept it and truly obey it, because Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my word. As we obey it, then God reveals more to us and we grow in the kingdom. But if we reject God's word, then what we have will even be taken away from us. And so really, truly, we need to have open, receptive hearts that receive God's word. We were talking about God's word yesterday about that word that is sown on the good soil, the open, receptive, honest hearts. We need to, again, be careful that we ourselves take God's word and receive it and desire what God says and obey it. Throughout scripture, again, we find that God's light has broken in on people. And I have some scriptures in the study notes about the light of the world and how either people come to the light and want to know God and be reconciled to God, or they want to stay in the darkness, to stay in their evilness, evil deeds, and not follow him. And again, that light has come upon us, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So truly, may we all receive God's word and obey it. So we've been learning about, again, how we are to accept God's word. And Jesus gave us two more parables in this chapter, talking again about the God's kingdom. And I'll be going over these just a little more quickly, but they're good words to understand more about what God is teaching us through Jesus about the kingdom. Verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it to the sickle, because the harvest has come. This is an interesting parable because Mark is the only one who records it. And so this is the only place in Scripture we have it. And the best thinking about what the meaning of this is that God is the one who makes the kingdom of God grow. The seed goes out, which we know is the word, but it starts small and it grows on its own. The Greek word when in verse 28, when it says the earth produces, the Greek word is actually automate, which is where we get the word automatic. And so it means it's growing on its own. It's not because of any human effort. And that is true. God calls us to spread the word, but the increase is all of the Holy Spirit. And so we just need to be faithful stewards and do what God tells us to. But any growth and goodness that happens is, again, because of God. And truly, as we see in this passage, it's talking then about how this seed goes out and grows and grows and grows and becomes something big, a big crop that then is harvested, which might be the indication of judgment. But it goes along with this prophecy we have in the book of Daniel, and it's a complicated prophecy, and we're not going to get all into it, but the vision or prophecy vision that Daniel interprets has to do with a big man with all kinds of different materials for feet and body and everything, but a stone comes and grows into a huge mountain, and that stone actually topples over this man. And truly what it all is that God is stronger than all the kingdoms of the world of all time. And this stone is the kingdom of God, which is growing and expands and becomes the reigning king over everything. And it fits perfectly with Jesus coming to inaugurate this kingdom of God. Now, truly, it has begun, and Jesus is living and ruling in human hearts right now, but he has not yet come the second time to rule over all for all things. So kind of that's the sense of what's going on here with the kingdom of God. Now we're going to read the last parable in this passage, and this is from verses 30 to 34. And he said to them, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables he spoke to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything." This parable of the mustard seed, we know from messages we've heard before that the mustard seed is a very small seed. Apparently it was one of the smallest that they used to plant in their fields, but it actually grew very fast, very quickly into something that could be 10 or 12 feet tall and actually a big enough shrub that the birds actually could come and nest in or be under the branches type of thing. And so again, it's a picture of the kingdom of God starting small in human hearts, but God again making it grow and increase and having a presence that from the very small beginnings of it, you would never guess would have happened. The question sometimes is, who are the birds and why are they in the branches? And truly there are several explanations, and I'm not the expert on this, but the one that makes most sense to me from other Bible scholars has to do with the birds coming to nest in the branches could be explained as the children of Israel are this growth that has happened and the kingdom of God has happened, but the birds coming in are actually that the Gentiles are allowed into God's kingdom. And my reference for that goes to Ezekiel, and there's a passage there that talks about God bringing in, again, these birds and nesting in the branches of actually a cedar that gets planted on the top of a mountain. But interesting little bit of scripture. It's probably one of those where we perhaps don't know exactly what's going on. But the main point, again, is that God is the one who has brought about the kingdom of God. It might be looking small, might start with a small band of illiterate or not very well educated disciples and followers, but it's going to spread and grow.
Mm. I love how that growth is now evident as we look backward, and I'm very excited as we look forward to see where God's growth will be in each one of us, ladies, and may those mustard seeds continue to grow automatically. I love that, Connie. Thank you so much. Well, all of the Bible study notes and the 10-minute podcasts of just this segment can be found at naomistable.com under our Bible Studies tab, and go there and help yourself freely and share the word, share what you have heard, and do these lessons, dig deeper. We love when you do that, and that's what helps that growth along, just nourish it. All right, we're going to be right back, and stick around, and we'll talk about this a little bit more.